Our scripture passage tonight comes from Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is a book that's found in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and it's a history of when the people of Israel were once exiled in Babylon, and they returned back to their homeland, and they're rebuilding Jerusalem. They're rebuilding a nation that's been devastated. And so we pick up when they've finished some of the rebuilding, and then they gather together. So a reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. When the seventh month came, the people of Israel, being settled in their towns, all the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the woman and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand. And Pedadiah, Mishael, Machikah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Mashilion on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shephathai, Hodai, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Haman, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of this law. Then he said to them, Go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. God, it's so good to be together, and it is so good to look at the Bible together. And we want to ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to give us understanding and interpretation, just like you did to Israel on that wild day in Jerusalem. So, Lord, for those of us who feel like we know the Bible pretty well, we pray that you would humble us and give us new insight. For those of us who are really new to the Bible, we don't know much about it, we pray that you would send your Spirit also to teach us, Lord. Amen. There's a few years ago, Jay Leno did this, I think it was kind of funny comedy about people's ignorance of the Bible. So he went through his audience when he had this late night show, and he asked people how much they knew about the Bible. You know, he would say, name one of the Ten Commandments, and a hand would shoot up, and they're like, the Lord helps those who help themselves. And then he'd kind of look at them, and he'd move on to the next question, which is, name one of the apostles. Silence. He's okay. Name the Beatles. And everyone's like, Ringo! You know, Paul, John, George, you know, they all just, everyone knew it. So then he takes his questions out on the street. And he asks the question, in the Bible, who was swallowed by a whale? And people answered, Pinocchio and Moby Dick. You know? So then he thought he would do fill in the blank. So he said, fill in this sentence. Eve was created from Adam's. And the first answer he got was knife. So he thought, I'll make it a little easier. So he gave a little hint. Tony Roma is a great place for ribs. Okay. Eve was created from Adam's Carol. Tony Roma is a great place for ribs. Okay, one more time. Eve was created from Adam's. Like, oh, rib. Got it. So it's just kind of this little thing that, you know, Jolena loved to highlight how little we know about the Bible. It's sort of funny. But my question is it totally funny, or is there something that we're really missing by not knowing much about the Bible? I think there's a lot we can learn about the scriptures. And we are in it, actually, just to let you know what we're talking about this tonight, we're in a series called Blueprints, which are the values of our church. We have these 10 values, and one of the values is we're really into the Bible. Each and every week, for the past 14 years, we've looked at one book and only one book every Sunday. And we're not going to change. We're going to keep looking at this Bible every single week because we believe there's something really amazing that we can learn about Jesus and God and our life and everything through the scriptures. And so we just think the Bible is really important. That's one of our values as a church. So let's talk about the scriptures tonight. Why is the Bible so important? First up, I just want to say the Bible has had such a huge influence in literature and music and art and so many things that even if you don't believe in God or anything like that, just knowing the Bible is actually kind of important. So, you know, if you even look at like a U.S. map, like at the East Coast, you'll see these towns called New Salem or Providence or you know, New Canaan. It's all from the Bible. We're here on the West Coast, you know, with the Spanish dudes, right? We've got like Los Angeles and, you know, San Jose, there's a biblical one, you know, or San Pedro, Santa Maria. You know, that again, we've got all these towns that are named after characters in the Bible. There's everyday phrases and concepts that are straight from the Bible. Check this out. Mercy, faith, hope, grace, a millstone around your neck, peace on earth, prodigal son, labor of love, apple of his eye, east of Eden, the golden rule, a house divided against itself cannot stand, tender mercies, turn the other cheek, an eye for an eye, love thy neighbor, vengeance is mine, you reap what you sow, etc., etc. Those are all words and concepts from the Bible. Yeah. Berkeley High. I know we have some yellow jackets here. Yes. One wall of Berkeley High in that beautiful Art Deco, there's these inscriptions, and it says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And every day, Berkeley High kids see that, and they have probably no idea that that's from Jesus. That's from the Gospel of John. It's from the Bible. Interesting. So I just want to say that even if you're not that interested in the contents of the Bible, but I hope you are, in terms of the spiritual part, which we'll get to in a minute, I just think that it's really important to know the scriptures. I also want to say I really love the Bible, and I really love people, and I really like to connect people to the Bible, and I promise I will never, ever, ever be like Jay Leno and make fun of you if you don't know the Bible. And I also want to say for some folks who are newer here, and I'm going to speak on behalf of you, you know, original gangsters, old-timers, whatever you are, no one else here will ever make fun of you if you don't know something about the Bible. But this is a totally safe place to just say, I don't know what that is. So anyway, no Jay Leno here. Jay, you're welcome to come, but you cannot make fun of us as we're learning the Bible. All right. So it's kind of interesting. How do you do that? There we go. So in 2009, there's a man named David Plotz, and he published a book that came after a blogging project. I don't think this is a great title, but good book, The Bizarre, Hilarious, Disturbing, Marvelous, and Inspiring Things That I Learned When I Read Every Single Word in the Bible. That's very long, but that's his title. David Plotz is an editor at Slate.com, and he is Jewish, a secular Jew, and when he turned 35, he decided that he would read all the way through the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, for the very first time, without the help of any commentaries, experts, or anything like that. He just wanted to do like a cold read, just open it up, and then whatever questions or things he thought on the Bible, he would just write a blog post on it. It took about a year, and he compiled those blog posts. He made it into a book. I haven't read the book. I read most of his blog posts, and I find it pretty interesting. But here's part of what he says in this book. He says, have you read the Bible? He goes, you probably haven't. He goes, 100 years ago, almost every well-educated American had a real deep knowledge of the Bible. He said today biblical literacy is practically universal if you're not a religious person. He talked about his mom and his brother, who were two of the most well-read people he knows. They're literature professors. And the only thing they know of the Bible is a little bit of Genesis and Exodus. So again, I think if you're not a religious person, you really wouldn't read the Bible very much. But also, as you started looking, you thought, even people that are religious, who claim to be people of the book, don't really know it very well. So he said, you know, for folks who are Catholic particularly, they don't know much about the Old Testament. Or if you're Jewish, you would know a lot of things about the first five books of the Bible, but not about the rest. If you're Orthodox Jewish, you may know more about the commentaries than you actually would about the scriptures. He said the only group of religious people that seem to read their Bible obsessively are evangelicals, which I think is kind of funny. As an evangelical pastor knowing this church, I would say we're kind of haphazard with our Bible reading. But, you know, I guess I'll take the praise of it. So here it goes. So David plots. Where did he end up after his year of reading the Bible? He goes, after spending a year with the good book, I've become a full-on Bible thumper. That's what he says. He said, everyone should read it, all of it. In fact, the less you believe, the more you should read. And let me explain why by telling you in part how reading the Bible's changed me. So he talked about how he was just changed through the reading of the scriptures. And part of the, you know, and again, he's a journalist, he's a writer, but as he would read the Bible, and he said sometimes this would happen 5, 10, even 50 times a day, he would read the scriptures and he would go, oh, I never knew that that character came from the Bible, that word came from the Bible, that story came from the Bible. And so he was just having these aha experiences like multiple times a day. I just never knew. And he said, I was so shocked when I read Amos, the prophet Amos, and I realized, that's what Dr. King used in his I Have a Dream speech. He just thought Martin Luther King made up those words. He didn't know he was quoting Amos. That's in the Bible. So he was just having all these aha experiences that that he really liked. In fact, he even said, while reading the Bible, I often felt as if I had finally lifted a veil from my eyes. Pretty interesting. He said, now not to sound like a crank, but I'm actually shocked that students are not compelled to read huge chunks of the Bible in high school and college the way they must read Shakespeare or the Constitution or Mark Twain. You know, he really is into the Bible reading. Now, personally for him, he said that what happened, because, you know, he's, again, secular Jewish guy, so he would do bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs in the holidays and stuff, but he had no idea what they meant. No idea. And then we started to read the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, he started to see the connections. He said, all of a sudden, so much of what I've been doing in my life made a lot of sense. Now, ultimately, he said, you know, I was an agnostic when I started to read the Bible, and actually, I'm still agnostic. I still don't know. To which I would want to say, David, read the New Testament. Really, really help you. But he didn't get that far. But, you know, whatever. Maybe, you know, it's not over yet. But here's what he did say. He goes, but perhaps I am closer to God, in the sense that the Bible's put me on high alert. I come to the Bible to feel inspired and awed, and I have been. But mostly I feel like I had a year-long argument with God because there were things he didn't like that he read. But maybe the argument itself represents a kind of belief because it makes me engage with God. Reading the Bible's given me a chance to start an argument with God about the most important questions in life, an argument that could last a lifetime. Thank you, David Plotz. Some pretty good reasons to read the Bible there. Now, I speak as someone who loves the Bible, who's a Jesus follower, so I want to say there's a whole nother reason besides intellectual knowledge and kind of a sense to any roots I have of why I read the Bible. Because I believe it tells me about Jesus. I believe it changed my life, that there's something living and active. See if it made it. Yes. The C.S. Lewis quote, the Bible is no mere book, but a living creature. Rawr! You know, living creature. But like, what kind of book is that? You know? It's pretty exciting. But it is pretty exciting. There is something live and living. Paul writes to Timothy, says that it's active. It's like a two-edged sword. It changes. It changes you. So with that, can we look at this really exciting Nehemiah 8 passage together? So again, I said a little bit of the background. If we go way far back, we've got the people of God that God has taken out of slavery, and they've gone through the wilderness, and they finally made it into the promised land. They finally had their land. They're finally together. And God had given them this law to follow and to live well together. And over the decades, through bad leadership and the people themselves, all the nation of Israel is just totally turned away from God. And you know what God does? He doesn't give up on them. He sends these prophets to say, psst, back here, back this way. Come back to God's laws. And he doesn't do it for 1 year. He doesn't do it for 2 years. He doesn't do it for 10 years. You know how long he sends prophets to say, psst, back here, come back. 200 years. 200 years he hangs with Israel and says, come back, come back. It's not going to go well for you if you keep not living life the way you're intended to live life with me. So 200 years later, the Babylonians come, they conquer Israel, they destroy Jerusalem, and they're taken up into Babylon, into exile. So for 70 years, they've been away from Jerusalem. They've been gone. What's left behind, again, has all just been savaged. But as all nations come and go, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians, and the Persians say, okay, you can go back to your devastated homeland, go ahead. So they start to come back in waves. There's first this guy named Zerubbabel. That's one of those funny Bible names. Zerubbabel takes the first group back. They start to rebuild. And then Ezra the priest comes and brings the second group back, and they start to rebuild the temple. And then finally this guy Nehemiah comes and brings the third group back, and they start to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. They start to rebuild the wall and make it a safe place. So at this point in the book, in chapter 8, the wall's been rebuilt. The people are settling in again. The future looks good. So who starts this crazy scripture reading? Okay, they're all gathered. All the people. The chapter before, I think it's like 45,000 people or something like that. They're in the square. They, the people, tell Ezra, Ezra, bring the scrolls. Bring them out. Bring the book of the law of Moses, Ezra. We want to hear the scripture read. I think this is super important. It's the people that want to hear the word. It's not Ezra. It's not Nehemiah saying, oh, this is our new plan for your lives. It's these people that are hungry. Bring us the word. We want to hear this. Sometimes I think we think that the priest or the pastor or whoever it is has to start. That's not how it works. If the Spirit of God comes on any of us, go for it. Don't wait. Just go for it. I want to read the scripture. Go for it. And yes, leaders lead. And if I start saying, it doesn't matter if you read the scripture, fire me. You know, it's good. You know, I'm supposed to lead. But what I want to say, if the Holy Spirit's stirring up a desire for you to read the scriptures, just don't wait for anybody else. Just start. Say, let's do it. And any leader worth their salt is not going to be offended by that. We're going to be thrilled by that. And I think Ezra here is just thrilled. What? You all right? Okay, coming right up. I'm going to bring those scrolls out for you. Let's see. So they're demanding to read the law, right? They hear the law of Moses. The law of Moses, another word for that is the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible. So they are going to hear the law. They're going to hear the 613 mitzvot, the laws in the first five books of the Bible. But they're also going to hear all the stories of the Bible, right? They're going to hear the stories of God's creation, of God walking with Adam in the garden, of God leading them out of slavery, of God giving them the promised land, and all the people's rebellions against God, and they're turning back to God as well. So that's the setting. Now think about it. Why would these guys want to hear the law now? Why now? Why the hunger now? I don't know. Maybe it was like a really old person who said, actually, I remember the time before the exile. I remember what it was like when we were here in Jerusalem. I remember what that was like. I remember some of us still tried to follow God. And you know what? Bad stuff's happened the last 70 years, and I don't want to go back to that. So let's follow the law right this time. Maybe it was like a young person who kind of heard stories and said, I want to hear that, not just secondhand, but I want to hear the stories for real. I don't know who started it. It doesn't really matter. What matters is there was a hunger for the scripture, a hunger for the Bible, and I long for us to have a similar hunger for God. For those of us who are Jesus followers and those of us who are trying to figure out if we want to be Jesus followers, I want us to have a hunger for this word that will show us more and more about who God is, more and more about who we are, more and more about who Jesus is. It's So what happens with this reading? So they're reading it from early morning to midday, and then there's this phrase that keeps coming up, that with this hunger comes this understanding, that it's not just enough to kind of just have the words wash over us, but there's an understanding of what does this mean? And so we just see these verses. The priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, all could hear with understanding. And then, again, they're reading all day, all day, all day. And then again, Nehemiah repeats this about all who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the law. All those names that I list, that hit list, you know, like, all those crazy names, they help people to understand. And I don't know if it was kind of like Occupy. Remember the Occupy movement a while ago, and with there was no microphones, and so you had people kind of out like, you know, this is the law, and then the next word, this is the law, and this is, you know, kind of had this amplification thing happening. I don't know what it was like, but all we know is we had all these other people who were explaining the law and sharing the law with people. Like, it was getting all throughout the crowd. That's so exciting. They did it together, not just individual, but all together. They looked at these scriptures together. And all those people helped others understand. So they read from the book, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense that people understood the reading. What does it mean to understand something? There's a head understanding. We need to have the head understanding. We need to know, like, what's the content of these books? What's the content of the words? We need to know how the history fits together. We need to know what the words mean. We totally need head understanding of the scriptures. And that's why I want to ask folks to really start, you know, getting in Bible studies and reading the scriptures by yourself, but really learning all the stuff. I have a good friend of mine who became a Jesus follower later in her life, and she's like, man, it's really hard to start late. I don't have that whole history that kids that are raised in the church have. But she's still plugging away, and I'm so proud of her. But we can catch up and just learn the stuff in our heads, and that's good. But there's another understanding that I want to talk about, too, is a heart understanding. The people hear the word, and they just weep. They're just broke. They're just so sad, like, it didn't have to go that way. Didn't have to go that way. And so they just weep and weep with sorrow and repentance. So we have to have a heart understanding. That's that living creature. That's not just our brains, but our hearts that were really moved by the scriptures. We're really engaged with it. It brings all of our feelings as well. But the knowledge and the heart aren't quite enough. And there's a last thing they do that I really love is that there's a response to the scripture. There's a response to what you hear. So Ezra says, go your way. Celebrate. And then the other thing he says is, some people aren't here. They're not sharing in this celebration. So you bring them food. I don't know if it's because they were disabled or they were poor. Somehow they missed the boat in terms of the scripture reading. But they're included. And so the response to the scripture is, let's include everybody in this. Let's go out. So they respond. They went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing because they'd understood the words. I want us to have this kind of understanding of the scriptures. I want us to be familiar in our heads. I want us to engage it emotionally, and I want us to do the things the scripture is telling us to do for our good. God's not saying do something really bad. He's saying this is how you're wired. This is how it's supposed to be. This is really good. I want us to figure out how to connect this head and heart. Let's see. Okay, here's just a couple stories. This happened in my Discover group on Friday. Someone's like, I read. There's some of our group. It's pretty diverse, you know, where people are. This one woman who's not a Jesus follower is like, I read the Not the Religious Type book, you know, the one we talk about every week. She goes, I'm ready to read some more stuff. Is it okay if I read the Bible? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. She goes, do I have to start in the beginning, or can I do the New Testament? I'm like, no, really. You can start with the Gospel. Like, this just happened on Friday in our group. So again, if you're new to the Bible, just start. Just start with the Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're all good. I like John. I mean, I like Luke. Other people were really bullied for John. It doesn't matter. But just pick one of those Gospels. Start reading. Kind of understand. Maybe get a journal and start writing down your questions or your feelings. Kind of do that connecting. And then after that, why don't you actually do what Jesus says and see if you respond to actually the scripture, what happens to your life with that? Wow. The world could be changed. It has been changed. It will keep being changed. I was talking to Teresa about this yesterday. I was asking Everybody in my house tried to. There's a lot of people in my house right now. So how has scripture like really changed you? And Teresa said, I just remember reading James when he says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. That always stuck with me. I was supposed to do something with what I read. And then she's like, and then later in James, it said, true religion is this, that you care for widows and orphans. So of course, they do the orphanage work, and then the orphanage shut down, and they work with, you know, orphans who have aged out. It's a very literal application, but a really good one, don't you think? I knew an acquaintance who was an American teenager in Jamaica. He had a major addiction to marijuana, so bad that he just couldn't get throughout a day without smoking, and it was so bad that he was cut school, he was lying, it was really a bad mess, and so much so his folks are like, I think we got to go back to the States. This is not a, if you have a marijuana problem in Jamaica, it's just not a good thing. So anyway, so they're trying to figure out going back, and you know, he was bummed about it, and so he was thinking about it as he was lighting up, and he got so sick. And again, he was raised in a very Christian family, and for punishment, his dad used to make them fill in Bible history charts, you know, on the wall. Like, so he knew the whole history and everything. He knew all the Bible stories and everything. So as he's lighting up, thinking about, oh, am I going to make my parents move back to the States? And he gets so sick that he starts to vomit. And when he vomits, you know what scripture he remembers? As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. He's like, man, what an idiot I am. And he got help. But because he had the knowledge of those scriptures in his head, when he was actually doing it physically, oh! You know, but yeah, the knowledge leads to this heart, which leads to response, right? There's a very literal example. God, I don't know, we're actually a little over time here, so I'm going to close this up. But I just want to say, the Bible is so powerful. The Bible is, you know, Jesus is bigger than the Word, right? You know, like Jesus isn't found like in the Bible. He's bigger than the Bible. But if you want to learn out who Jesus is, you start with the Scriptures. And that's just a good way to start. I know people's faces, I'm looking at you and I'm thinking of different struggles you're having, and I think the Bible will really help you with those things. And I want to encourage you, if you feel daunted by this book, like it doesn't make sense, I don't know where to start, just start with one of the Gospels. Just a little bit every day. Ask God to say, God, make this that living creature. You know, make it kind of spring up. Speak to me through that. And I believe he will. Pull out your connection card. Now you know why it's one of our values? Because it's really important. Okay, they're all important. The connection card I wrote, let's see. It says, I want to learn to love the Bible, which is more the heart, and I want to know the Bible, which is more the head. I don't know which one it is for you, but maybe that's it. Maybe it's about response or something else. But I'm going to do a quick prayer, a blessing, that we would learn the scriptures well and that our lives would be changed. So, Lord, again, we say thank you that these are the words of life. And, Lord, we ask that you would stir up a hunger for us like you did those folks in Israel. That we would know you with our mind, but also our heart. And that we respond to what you're asking us to do. And we know that that brings us life. So come, Jesus, we pray a blessing on those of us who are starting new habits of reading the scripture. And for those of us who maybe it feels a little dry, that you would invigorate our scriptures. Help us to do this not just individually, but help us together to talk about your scriptures as well and learn from one another.